Well, it's good to be here this morning with you guys. It's the first time I've been here. If you don't know, I had the privilege of being Parks and Penny's pastor from the time the church in Waverly started until they left and came in to be with you guys. And so. I've had a long history with them. I wasn't able to be here for his ordination because of I either had COVID or was exposed or something. It was during that time, and so nobody would let me come, so I wasn't able to be here. But you know, I think the world of them. They are such good folks. Isaiah, he was small when last time I saw him, seemed like, so he's grown. Almost didn't reckon. In fact, I didn't recognize him to start with. But but I am glad to be here, and I'm always glad to proclaim the Word of God. And so today, I want to look at Colossians. So you guys can be turning there to Colossians chapter 1, and if you will, and as you're turning, or go ahead and get there, and then we'll stand as we. I ask folks to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word, not because of any other reason other than I think it's important that we reverence His Word. So if you will stand with me, and I'm going to read verses 9 through 14. 9 through 14. And then in the middle of the message, if I see that you guys are falling asleep, I might have you stand again. So anyway. For this reason, we also, starting at verse 9, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and longsuffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray once again. Father, we always want to thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for it again this morning. And we do thank You for this time of worship You've given us. And Father, we know that this time is about You, and not us. We're so thankful, Father, that during this time of worship where we can proclaim Your Word, and I pray, Father, that as we are worshiping You, as we are and becoming a living sacrifice to You, we open ourselves to You. And if there's something in our lives that needs to be rearranged, refocused, recommitted, whatever it might be, Father, I pray You'll show us clearly, and I pray that we'll see clearly, and we'll respond in obedience to You. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. One of the neat things about God's Word and one of the really neat things about looking at Paul's letters is if you look at the letters themselves, each letter has a different theme. And that makes sense because he's writing to different churches. And he's writing to the churches addressing the things that he needs to address during that time. Well, here at the church at Colossae, he is writing them a letter specifically for something. And you know, it's different than what he wrote to the Romans. You know, when we look at the letter to the Romans, it shares with us how to enter into a relationship with Christ. In fact, you know, most of us, when we're sharing the gospel, we use what we call the Roman road. So we utilize verses that Paul wrote to the Romans. We utilize those verses to share with someone that they are a sinner, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. That the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it tells us how to do that also in Romans chapter 10, where it says, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you will be saved. So in Romans, we basically see, you know, and we can see a theme of how to enter into that relationship with Christ. It does give us a whole lot of other things, but Colossians here, we see that it kind of divides up and what he's trying to tell us and try to show us is how to abide in the fellowship that we have in Christ. How to abide in that. You know, Jesus, in John chapter 15, we see that he says, abide in me and I want to abide in you. You know, he tells us that our standing as believers in Jesus Christ need to be to where we're in fellowship with him, where we're abiding in him. So in Colossians, Paul goes ahead and presents that to us. We see in the first couple of chapters, he presents Christ as Lord. And then the last two show that who Christ is in a believer is our life and our love. The first two chapters are both doctrinal and corrective. He shares some things doctrinally that they had messed up, and corrective on how to get back to where they needed to get to. And then, of course, the last two chapters are the practicality parts and sections of the letter on this is how you are to walk in him. What Paul was doing here, and you know, it's still happening today, is he was basically correcting a heresy. And the heresy that he was trying to correct and what he was trying to show them is you only need Jesus Christ alone. That's it. He is sufficient for every spiritual, every physical need that you have. And there are other people telling them there's other ways, other things you need. And what Paul was trying to tell them was that's not the case. In fact, if you go back a little bit, and I think it's it's a little bit later in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How you walk in him? Be rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So that's what he's basically telling them. So going back to verses 9 through 14, we see that Paul, in the very first part of this chapter, that he is sharing with them, he says, look, I've heard some great things about you, church. You guys, I'm getting to hear some really, really neat things about you. You guys are doing okay. You got some stuff, and we're going to talk about that. But he tells them what he is thankful for, some of the things that he's thankful for and thankful that he's heard. He heard about their faith in God. He said, I'm thankful you guys have faith in Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that you understand where your hope is and that hope is laid up for you in heaven. He shares that with them a little bit earlier in these verses. He says, I'm thankful for the love you have in the Spirit for each other and for Christ himself. And not only for just your bunch, but for all the saints that you're praying for and you love, not just your group, but all the saints. You know that we're all on a mission for Jesus. And so I'm thankful for your love. And then he goes into what it means to please God. And so this is where I'm at this morning. This is where these verses are at. Because what I want us to talk about, what I want to talk to you about, is what does it mean to please God? And are you pleasing God? Are you really pleasing God? And I think that's a question that we all need to ask ourselves. Are we pleasing God? Do we care whether or not we are pleasing God? Is that something that's important in our lives? And I want you to ask yourself that. Is you pleasing God something that you want in your life? Is it first in your life? Or is it just somewhere down here after me or after my stuff or after whatever? And here he's saying, I'm going to tell you how to do that. In verses 9 through 14, he says, I'm going to share with you how to please God. If you look down at verse 10, he's saying, for this reason, in verse 9, I'm telling you this. In verse 10 says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. That Him is the Lord that it just talked about. So this is how you can do it. So this is a how-to verse. These are how-to verses, and I thought, these are really good. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. It says, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. So this morning, I want to look at four things fairly quickly that these verses share with us in how we are to be pleasing to Him. If you want to be pleasing to God, these four things need to be happening in your life. And they're all in these verses. The first one is you need to be fruitful. And right after in verse 10, it says fully pleasing Him. It tells us first being fruitful in every good work. You need to be bearing fruit. You need to be bearing fruit. So what does that mean? Well, I'm not real sharp. So, and everybody that knows, y'all don't know me, so I'm going to just share that with you right up front. You know, I get a lot of amens with people that know me because they know I'm not real sharp. They know the smart one of my bunch is my wife. I hate to admit it, but it is. But I do know what this means. And I know in my mind, if you go out, and just think about this. If you guys go out and go buy a pear tree, you go to a nursery, you buy a pear tree, and you plant a pear tree. Now, I don't know when it's going to happen. I'm not a gardener, and I'm not a tree planter or any of that stuff, or a tree hugger, none of that. But if you go plant a pear tree, at some point, if you live long enough, what do you expect that tree to bear? Pears, right? Absolutely. You've gone, you've paid a lot of money, the sticker. Now, some of y'all may know it, but I'm not one of these guys that knows trees or leaves or stuff like that. I almost failed a class in elementary school because I didn't know the leaves of trees. And I thought, why do I ever need to know this? But anyway, that's all beside the point. I don't know what a leaf on a pear tree looks like. Have no idea. Does anybody here know? Y'all raise your hand. You know what? I'm amazed, okay? Just so that you know. I'm impressed. But I don't know that. So what I would do is if I wanted a pear tree, I would go to a nursery, and I would go and I would look, or I'd go to Lowe's. You know, that's kind of where I buy stuff is Lowe's. And I would go and I'd look at the tags. Are y'all with me? Is that what y'all would do? Go look at the tags. And if the tag says pear tree, what would you expect? Pears at some point. You'd figure a pear tree. You would know the difference, but I wouldn't. So if I go and I plant this tree, and this tree, eventually, it never has fruit. Ever. What would you think? You got robbed. That's exactly right. That it's either not a pear tree, you know, false advertising, right? Because I'm going by a sticker. My point. Now, this is probably not a good way to make a point, but my point is, if you call yourself a child of God and you're not producing outwardly fruit of the Spirit of God that comes and dwells within your life, what would people think you are? You could wear a tag around or wear a t-shirt all day long that says, I'm a child of the King, but if you're not bearing the fruit of the King, what are they going to think? That you're a phony, you're a counterfeit, that you're not what you say you are. Now, what happens when we're saved? God is so good. We're going to talk about His redemption in just a minute because the last verse talks about the redemption we have in and through Jesus Christ. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But one of the neat things that happens is after we're saved, as soon as we place our faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, comes and indwells in our life. Jesus Christ, when He left, sent His agent, He sent the Holy Spirit comes. He is who operates in this world, in our lives. And the fruits of the Spirit, the Bible tells us, are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Now, I don't know if I got them all, but there's 9 of them. Isaiah one time told me one that I missed. And he was right.
I wasn't.
You weren't right? Did I say it?
I said long-suffering wasn't patience.
Oh, that's right. He was wrong. Probably the only time he's wrong. So he was wrong. I had to correct him. But anyway, those fruits you have, they're in there because you got the Holy Spirit. So in your life, when somebody approaches you or you're operating out here, what's coming out? Is long-suffering and patience coming out? We'll talk about that in just a second. What about self-control? What that means is His control in your life. What about faith? We'll talk about that tonight. The just shall live by faith. What about those things? Well, if they're not, then you're not being what you say you are, and guess what that doesn't do? It doesn't please God. He says here in this verse, if we want to be fully pleasing to Him, we're fruitful in every good work. Not just some of them. Just because you came to church on Sunday morning, that's a good work, right? Being fruitful. People see you coming in church, they're going to assume that this is where you want to be. They're going to assume that Jesus is your Lord, that you're following Him and everything else. But just 1 hour a week doesn't do it. It's way more than just coming together to worship the one that saved you. It's going out there and going into the world and bearing fruit during those days. And so that's what he's talking about. Every good work. So that's the first one. And listen, when you're one of the really neat things that happens when you become a born-again believer, and if you're a born-again believer, if you're truly born again, you know this. The Bible tells us if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. So what happens in our life is first of all, our want-to changes. We want to please Him now instead of want to please something else. Some of those things that we used to respond and some of the ways we used to respond change. Where we used to get angry about things, now we might be responding in love. When we used to turn away from people and not want to be a part of some of that, some of what people are in and some of that mess that they're going through, now we love them so much that we want to pray for them and we want to do what we can to help them. Folks that we wouldn't serve before, now we are willing to serve. Our want-to changes. That's what happens when we start allowing Him, the Holy Spirit, to fill us. And we start allowing His fruits to come out of us. One of the things that I believe Christians ought to really consider is are we bearing fruit not only by our actions but by our talk? How we talk. Are we talking about folks? Or is our talk encouraging to others? So you can do, and you have a choice of doing, a lot of different things in a lot of different ways. But how do you think God wants us to operate? What do you think pleases Him? Well, first of all, He tells us to be fruit-bearing. The second thing it says is being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Number two is to desire to know God better. Maybe that's a better way to say it. We should have a desire to know God better and better and better and better. To understand, to increase in this knowledge, to increase in who He is, and what His will is. If you'll go back to verse 9, it says at the very end of it, it says that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So to know, increase in the knowledge of Him will help us to know His will for our lives. What He's wanting out of us. Where He's wanting us to be. Where He's wanting us to live. How it is He's wanting us to live. See, these are the things that God will show us if, first of all, we're walking fruitful, being fruitful in every good work. And as we increase to know Him, we'll increase to know His will. One of the apps, well, let me kind of backtrack a little bit. Do you know what this is not talking about? Because some people miss this. What this is not talking about is knowing Him so we can see how much more we can get out of Him. Yeah, a lot of people think God's just up there like a great big granddaddy that's willing to give us whatever it is we want. They abuse those verses where you can ask what you want and He'll be giving it to you. And they don't understand the complete concept of that. And they believe that God's just up there and His main desire is to give us everything that we've ever wanted in the prosperity realm, because that's what makes us happy. Well, that's not scriptural at all. I mean, people went through, He said, blessed are the persecuted. You know, people went through tough times in the Word of God, the characters that we know, the apostles. Read about what happened to them. It wasn't pretty. But that's not who He is. He's just up there to see what we can get out of Him. God's God. And God's holy. And it's also, and we sometimes folks miss this, this is not talking about trying to find out how much we can get to know about God. There's a difference between having knowledge about God and knowing God. And what that means is you can have a head knowledge all day long, but if you don't apply it to your life and it doesn't get down to your heart, it's not going to affect or help you one little bit. It's important that we study and we get it in our minds. We're going to have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ comes from our heart. And so that's what he's talking about when he's talking about this. So that is where it is. And the best way to get to know about God, do you know where that is? In His Word. I mean, He's given us. We have the great privilege of having God's Word. God has said, this is my Word. It's without error. It's infallible. It won't ever fade away. This is where you can get to know me. If you want to know me, you can get in my Word, and then you can get to know me. And then on top of that, he says, and by the way, when Jesus died, the veil was rent so that you can actually come to me in prayer, and you can talk with me and listen to me so that I can talk to you, because right now, Jesus Christ is your high priest. He is at the right hand, my right hand. And when you pray, He there is there being your mediator. You go through Him to me now. You have to go through somebody else. So we not only have all this, we have an attentive ear in God Almighty. Isn't that neat? That is so neat. So get to know Him better. That's well-pleasing to Him. Listen, God wants us to know Him better. He's got so much for us. He's got so many things in our lives. And the more we get to know Him, the more we'll know His will. He's got our path laid out. And if we figure that out, who it is He is, what it is He has for us, it may not be something you expect. It may not be something you want. But if it's what He wants, it's good. And we need to be following that path. And just so that you know, a lot of times, if you really want to get to know Him and you get to know His will, a lot of times it's not what you want to do. But what He'll do is He'll stretch you so that you'll have faith in Him, knowing that He can get you through these things. So have knowledge in Him. The third thing it says, and we're going to talk about patience right now and long-suffering. The third thing it's talking about, as we go on in verse 11, it says, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Enduring times that aren't pleasant, with strength and patience. That's what pleases Him. Hanging in there. Hanging in there. I know that's probably not, there's no Greek for hanging in there, but hanging in there is good because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to hang in there by holding on to Him because y'all know life's not easy, right? I mean, life may be easy for some of you guys. Some of y'all may have had a very blessed life where you haven't had to go through much trouble at all. And then there's others of you that have probably gone through really, really tough times. Hard stuff. Really hard stuff. Keep you up for days and days and days and years stuff. What God says is, the way that you please me is by hanging on during those times, by hanging with me. We can do all things, the Bible tells us, in another letter that Paul wrote to Philippians, we can do all things through Christ because He strengthens us. We can make it. We can get through it. But we have to get through it with Him because He is our everything. And that's what it's talking about, strengthened with all might. It's His might according to His glorious power. Trust Him to get through that. They're not coming after us, are they? Okay, good. I didn't know. Is this a war zone? I've never been out through here. I mean, one time, that was Saturday. I drove right by your church and went and delivered some cabinets up here down the road somewhere. But I didn't know y'all had a war zone out here. So kind of, y'all didn't warn me about that. I thought you didn't tell me about that, man. We get through it with long suffering and patience, right? But the strength that we have is in His glorious power. And it says, be patient. They're really going at it now, aren't they? Do they do this often or is this unusual? I did not. Well, they may have come after me. I don't know. I thought I got out of their, out of their sight when I cut down this road right here. I didn't think that road got traveled more than once or twice a year. But anyway, where was I? Patience and long suffering with joy. Are y'all gonna listen to me? We're gonna listen to the gunfire. I'm kind of. All right. Some ways that we can handle doing this with patience and long suffering. The first thing is realize God's in control. So no matter how big that army is out there, God's still in control, right? And we need to realize it. Jeremiah 29:11. I made reference to this a little bit before time, just for a second. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not evil, to give you a future and hope. God knows everything. He knows where we're headed. He knows our end result. So just trust Him through it. That's how you endure during these tough times. He tells us things are going to happen in our life. He tells us we're going to go through some tough times, but we can endure to the end with Him. And he says, I've got your path. And understand this. This is the hardest thing for us as Christians to understand. Easiest thing for us to say when we're in a good time. Hardest thing for us to understand when we're in a hard time. But it's in Romans 8:28. And Romans 8:28 says, and we know. We're assured, we know with all our heart. And this is Paul in prison, knowing these things, okay? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now that's hard to understand when you're going through a tough time if you're not looking up. If you're looking at circumstances and you're looking at what's happening, you're thinking, how could this possibly be good? But when you're a born-again believer, one of the things we are to understand is it's not all about us. It's all about Him. And He's got a good plan. And His plan's perfect. And we just got to accept it sometimes. And I'm not saying that's an easy thing to do, but I am saying it's the truth because He don't lie. And we got to understand that God is good. And things will work together for good, something, whether it's for us or for someone else or something else. And honestly, that's hard. I understand that. I mean, you know, it's an easy thing for a preacher to say, hard thing to live, especially when you're going through some tough stuff, especially when something's really hard that you're going through. But the way to get through it, the way to endure it, is to understand God is in control and He got a plan, and just trust that and get through it. God doesn't make mistakes, folks. Never has, never will. Y'all realize that we're the ones that made the mistake all the way back in the Garden of Eden. And ever since then, all this is cursed and evil's been in this world. And because of evil, bad things happen to really, really good people. It does. It's not God's fault. Never has been, never will be. Can God prevent it? Absolutely. God's in control of everything. Why does God not prevent it? Can't answer that. I just trust Him. And that's what we're to do as we go through it. So God says if we want to be pleasing to Him, we endure troubled times with patience. And lastly, He says, and giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. This is really, really neat. Because right after He says we're to endure tough times with patience, He says, and we're to give thanks. We're to give thanks in hard times? We are. The Bible tells us in all things give thanks, right? How do we possibly do that? Well, because we revert back as His children. And so that's why He finished this. Because He qualified us. We didn't qualify ourselves. We're nothing. He qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He's given us a home in heaven. Not because we're good, but because He's gracious. Not because we deserve it, but because He's got mercy. And because of His mercy and because of His grace, He has provided a way for us to be redeemed. He's provided a way for us to have an inheritance. That's through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And in all things, we can give thanks because of that. Because you know, if He didn't do that, no opportunities for us. This sinful world, the things that were happening and the things that do happen, we would have nothing to look forward to. But for us as believers, there's going to come a time, if the Lord tarries, that we'll take our last breath. And when we take our last breath, Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We're going to enter right into the presence of our Lord at that time of death. No matter what's happened here, how bad it's gotten, when we get there, it will be glorious. And we can give thanks because of that. And that's what He says. This is what pleases Him. Live a life of gratefulness for what it is He's done for us. Folks, I pastored 33 years. I've heard all kinds of things about why people won't even attend church. And they say they're born again believers. How could we possibly get to the point if we truly are a child of God, truly realize the redemption that we have in Christ, not even give Him 1 hour. 1 hour of our week to come together to worship the one that saved us. But churches, y'all are here, so I'm not talking about y'all. But there's churches everywhere that are, I mean, if people that say they're born again believers would actually go to church, every church everywhere would be full. Everybody would have to be adding on. But then, it's way more than just that 1 hour. A lot of us, as I said before, think if we've given 1 hour, we're done. The rest of our time's our own. for some reason, when we talk about tithing our time, you know, we talk about tithing, you know, it's not just money, but it's our time and everything else. Well, it's not even tithing our time coming 1 hour. I mean, I don't know what, I'm not smart enough in math to figure out what 7 times 24 is divided in 1 hour in that, what the percentage is, but it's not much. I'm smart enough in math to know not much, okay? We think we're doing God a favor by being here. We're not thankful for what He's done. Or maybe we're thankful for a short time. But we're more thankful for all the other time we got that we're not serving Him. Do you think that pleases God? Do you think that pleases the one that sent His Son to die on the cross? He didn't come to the world, into the world to condemn, like we learned in Sunday school this morning. He came in the world to save. We had the opportunity. We placed our faith in Jesus. That's the only thing that saves. We're saved. We're redeemed. We have a home in heaven that's secured by the Holy Spirit. He sealed us until the day of redemption. Praise God for that. And we're not thankful. We're not thankful enough to serve Him, to be fruitful, to get to know Him better, to endure through these tough times, grabbing hold of Him. Well, here He says, not only do we have an inheritance, He went ahead and He says, and if you just don't get it then, He said, He delivered us from the power of darkness. He conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. He's saying, folks, we didn't deserve any of this, but He did it for us. He loved us. So Paul is telling them, folks, if you want to be pleasing to God, as it says here, fully pleasing Him, you need to have some stuff to work towards. And what you need to work towards is just drawing closer to Him. The closer you get to God, the more fruit you'll bear. The closer you get to God, the closer you'll want to get to God. The closer you get to God, the more you'll endure whatever things that you have with patience and long-suffering, utilizing His strength. And the closer you get to God, the more thankful you'll be. Because the realization of who He is, what He's done for you, will hit home. But none of this will work if you don't have Christ in your life. You can never please God without placing your faith in Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus so that we can be saved. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And if you've never placed your faith in Jesus, that doesn't please Him. What Jesus did for you up to now has been in vain. Not for us that have placed our faith, but for you, it's been of non-effect. But today, you can place your faith in Jesus. I have the good fortune of not knowing who's saved and who's not here. God does. He knows. He knows. And you can fake it all day long. And you can say and wear the shirt says, I'm a Christian all day long, but God knows. God knows. So if you've never placed your faith in Jesus, today is the day for your salvation. But you have to go to Him and call on His name, recognizing that you're a sinner, realizing that the Savior came for you and He's the only way, and then call on His name. And you can do that this morning. If you don't know how, you come on up here. I'll show you through God's Word. I ain't saved anybody my whole life. Glad I hadn't. But He has. And I can share through His Word what it takes. If you need to do whatever it is this morning during this time of invitation, you be obedient to Him. You do it because it's important. It's not about me, who's preaching, or anything else. It's about you and Him. And you need to ask yourself, am I pleasing Him? And if you're not, you can. He'll show you what to do. So do it today. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Jesus. And I pray, Father, this morning that if there be anything that needs to be done, that it will be. I pray that during this time of invitation, You have Your way. That there is no hindrance to obedience to You. We love You. We praise You for Jesus. Father, just I pray, Father, that we'll be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen.